B'mitzia daf samach to samach beis, interest-bearing loans, ezu neshech psicha. This is an opening to ezu neshech, which is the whole sugya we're going to be dealing with on borrowing money with interest, where we have some obvious and difficult questions just on the very concept of the Isser of Rebus. And if we can clarify those questions, it'll be easier. One we discussed yesterday that we started talking about. And the two approaches, as we were talking around, one is to look and see, does anybody answer these questions? And the other is to answer them ourselves, is to understand first principles. What are we dealing with and what does it mean? The questions that we've got are, we can rent out our objects, why can't we rent out our money? To take your $5,000, buy the famous golden Rolex, and then rent the golden Rolex to somebody who pays you $20 a month to use the Rolex. Nothing wrong with that. Why can't you take the $5,000 and rent him the $5,000 and he pays you $20 a month and eventually returns the $5,000 the same as he would have returned the Rolex? What's so specific about money? Why are the Yisurim only for Jewish people? If it's something inherently wrong, why would the prohibition not apply also to non-Jewish people? And perhaps the most difficult question of all, why is ribis forbidden? Why is interest-bearing loan forbidden? Even in a case where the interest is a fraction of what the borrower can profit by employing the money in a business. So the borrower comes to the lender and says, I'm very happy to pay you 5% a year. It's no problem because I'm going to be making 40% a year in the business I want to do. So you'll be doing me an enormous chesed. You'll be doing me an enormous kindness by lending me the money. Without your loan, I can't start the business. And he's going to say, look, I can't lend it to you interest-free because it's money that I would otherwise be employed elsewhere, and I'm not allowed to lend it to you on interest. So what happens? Why would we be discouraging the business opportunity for the borrower with the issur of ribis? And as we get into this, into the first dafim of this perik, we see some of the fundamental principles, some of the first principles of ribis that we have to be working with. Firstly, if we look at the way the tur brings it. Now, at the beginning of every chapter of the two, there's a little paragraph, a few lines, which is called Pratei Rimzei Dinim Amvuarim Bezeh Asiman. The beginning of each section, it's the some of the details of the laws that will be clarified in this siman. That was actually written by the Beis Yosef, by the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo. He adds into the two a little header to each, a little summary of the chapter to each chapter of the two. And the first three in this chapter of two, which is in Yoredei Siman Kuf Samach, come from our Gemara, from these dapim. Hamalve v'aloive v'ha'arei v'ha'idim ovrim. It's not only the lender that transgresses, it's also the borrower. It's not only the borrower, but also the guarantor. It's not only the guarantor, but it's also witnesses who signed the document. Everybody's over on this issur of ribis. It's not just the lender. Hamalve b'ribit nechasav mitmotetim. That if a person lends money on interest, his estate shrinks, collapses. And it's as if he's denying Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's so interesting that we're starting Ezer Neshech right after Pesach. There's a connection between ribis, the prohibition of interest, and accepting the principles of Yetziat Mitzrayim, of coming out of Egypt. If a person pretends that his money is really money from a non-Jewish origin, somebody deposited money with me, and I'm lending you his money as a banker, I'm not lending you my money, but that's not really true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find him and punish him. Hashem sees and looks at the quality of a transaction, not just the quantity. Same as we learned with the laws of Ona'an, we've been learning right through Seder Nezikin. There's the quantitative dimension of the business transactions that we engage in, but they also have a qualitative dimension. And Ona'an is a qualitative dimension of a transaction, as we've been learning. And Ribis as well is a qualitative dimension which HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches out for. And the two starts off and says, Ribit Hoil Va'atali Adan Neima Be'imilta. Since I'm starting to deal with the laws of Ribis, let me say a few words. Ma'od Ma'od Tzarich Adam Lizay B'Yisri Ribis. One has to be enormously careful with the laws of Ribis. V'kama Lavim Nem Rubo. Lots of Navim are said. You hear of Mahadrin butchers and you hear of Mahadrin supermarkets. There should be Mahadrin banks. How do we know that we're borrowing, that it's behidu, that there's really absolute caution and care to make sure that these laws are covered? This is here. He doesn't say this by the laws of kashrus. that tzarich adam nizay be isur maod maod, very very much careful. One has to be fafilu alove vahnotnove mashenkim b'shar dine mamonos. Even the borrower has to is transgressors, which is not so in other laws of business. Shem adam rotzei lizak min lechasav rashai. If a person wants to take a loss, he's allowed to take a loss. It's your own money. Do what you want with it. Where do we get this idea that even the borrower can't forego his right to an interest-free loan and agree to pay interest because it's in his commercial interest? And the tour goes on explaining how complex and serious this prohibition is. So the first thing we've got to look is the psukim, but what's important is the psukim, and they come in three different places in the Torah. What's important is the context. Where are they positioned? The first time is in Parashat Mishpatim. Im kesef talveta miyetani imcha imach lo tiye bo kenoshe lo tesimun alav neshech. You shouldn't charge him interest. That's in Parashat Mishpatim in the book of Shmot. Then in the book of Vayikra in Parashat Bahar, if your brother is having a hard time, you should help him. Don't take interest. And you should fear God all of a sudden. That gets thrown in. So as to enable your brother to live with you. What does that all mean? Again, you shouldn't charge him interest. And then at the end of the parasha, I am the Lord your God that first he took you out of Egypt, secondly gave you the land of Israel, and thirdly agreed to be your God. And that's why you've got to be careful with ribis. So we see this qualitative dimension. This is not about business. This is not about taking money that isn't yours. This is about something much bigger than that. And then in Dvorim Parshas Ki Tetzeh, we've got it again, where we're given the law that this applies specifically in the Jewish community, but not if one is borrowing or lending to from or to a non-Jewish person. Based on that posuk in Bahar, the Sifra says, Ani Hashem Lekechem Ashehotzeiti Etchem, Al Tnai Kach Hotzeiti Etchem Eretz Mitzrayim, Al Tnai Shetekablu Et Mitzvat Ribit. The condition of coming out of Egypt, this is all Pesach Dik. The condition of coming out of Egypt was that you would accept the laws of ribis. That was part of the deal. Otherwise, you can stay slaves in Egypt. What's that got to do with it? Of all the dinim, of all the laws, ribis isn't mentioned in the Ten Commandments. Of all the dinim of the Torah, ribis is the one that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim for that particular reason. Shekol ha-modeh mitzvat ribit modeh b'yetziat Mitzrayim, because anybody who accepts ribis accepts the principles of Mitzrayim. V'chol ha-kofer b'mitzvat ribit ki'ilu kofer b'yetziat Mitzrayim. And anybody who denies the laws of interest of ribis is denying the very essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where does that come from? And in our Gemara too, Rava asks, Rava is very key in this whole sugya. Lama li dekos of Rachmoni Yetzias Mitzrayim beribis. Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim mentioned in ribis? And the Gemara discusses it a little bit differently from the Sifra. And the Rambam brings that lahalacha, that this is not just a conceptual thing, that Egypt or whatever. He brings it lahalacha, kol ha-kotev shtar ribit ha-rezek ki-kotev u-me'id al ha-veidim she-kafar ba-Hashem elokei Yisrael. If you sign a document that includes ribis, you are denying Hashem. It's kfiro. Unbelievable that all this is. Who would have thought? Even if there are no documents, you just borrow or lend with interest. It seems to be that the Sifra is the Makor for the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah wants to say our Gemara is the Makor for the Rambam, but others say that it's from the Sifra. So one of the principles we've got to deal with is what is this connection between ribis and Yetzias Mitzrayim? If we want to understand ribis and understand the different issues, the three fundamental questions that we've got to understand what is this relationship with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Secondly, the Gemara says in Daf Samach Aleph, in our pages, again, Rove, Lama li dekos of Rachmona lav beribis, lav begezel, lav beino. Why does the Torah give us three sections of prohibition? Ribis, interest lending, theft, gezel, and ona'ah, exploiting people in trade and commerce. Why not just give one of them, or two of them? We could figure it out. Surely they're all forms of theft. And the Gemara goes through all the possibilities and says, no, they're different. They're all different from one another. This is not about theft. There's nothing immoral in charging interest. There's nothing unethical in charging interest. There's nothing illegal in terms of the laws of nature to charge interest. It's a normal thing. The same as you can rent your car out, you can rent your money out. Nothing wrong with that. It's a specific law that applies to Jewish people in the building of the community of Israel and in their relationship to Hashem. This has got nothing to do with business oppression and with theft. This is a law all of its own, a gzerat ha-katuv, all on its own. So we have a fundamental principle, which is the linkage to Mitzrayim. We have a fundamental principle that this is not unethical. And the third fundamental principle we have, that Shema Mina Dushuma Miltehi on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, that even just calculating the interest and agreeing the interest before there's any payment is already an issur. So it's an attitudinal issur. It's not about exploiting and stealing. With exploiting and stealing, you've actually got to do it. With ribis, you don't even have to do it. You're transgressing the issur just by agreeing that there will be interest. That's already a problem. So it's an attitude that we have to look at. Why money and not other objects? The Rambam says, back again to the Rambam, all in Perek Dalad in Hilchas Malveh V'Loveh. It's interesting, by the way, the Rambam paskins all these laws of Enor in Sefer Mishpotim, in the laws of commercial transactions. The Tur Shulchan Aruch paskins it in Yoredeya, in the laws of Isur Veheter. Because we see in the Torah itself this duality. In Parsha Shmois, we've got the laws of Neshech, and in Sefer Vayikra, it comes together with the laws of Shviyis, of Shmitah, and the laws of Yovel. That's where it's paskind. In Shmot, it's in Mishpotim. So we see it's laws, it's commercial laws, it's how you conduct yourself in business, but it's based on some godly principle which is more linked to things like Shabbos and Shviyis and Yovel. And so we see that also, the Rambam classifying it in the laws of commerce, and the Shulchan Aruch classifying it in the laws of kosher and treif, in the qualitative laws. One of the keys is to understand the Malbim on the Sifra. Says the Malbim, Ani Hashem Lekirchem Asher Tzeti, Lelamed Shakofer B'mitzvat Ribit Kofer Ba'ele, Ki Mitzvah Zu Mora Al Ha'emuna V'habitachon, Shemalve Ma'otav B'chinam Uvoteach Ki Yaseyo Hashem Mitzad Hashgachato B'derech Pele. It is counterintuitive, it is counter-logic to give your money away, to lend your money without interest. You could be putting it in the bank and getting interest. You could be investing it in the stock exchange and it could be growing. What right has the borrower to expect you to give the money to him free of charge when you wouldn't give anything else free of charge? Why is that? Says the Malbim, because this is a demonstration of belief in the fact that a Jew earns his living miraculously. The question is, do you believe in that or not? That's what you're declaring with the mitzvah of ribis. By saying, I'm not worried about the 5% I can make in the bank. I'm not worried about the 7% I can make annually on the stock exchange. The Ribbono Shel Olam has much more than that in store for me. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about the little percents and the little pennies. Let me do a mitzvah with the money. That's a qualitative thing I can do with the money that is worth so much more. Remember, we talked about how with a pruta you can acquire kapora, you can get your atonement. When a Jew has the opportunity of buying eternity for pennies, we don't lose that business opportunity. Buying something of high value is not just quantitative high value, qualitative high value as well. And that's what Pesach is about. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the month of Nisan, you remember the Rosh Chodesh Nisan Shir, Nisan is the time of Nes. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes us out of linear predictability and puts us into an exponential process of being treated miraculously, not logically. And that's what Pesach is. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is, to come out of Meitzarim, to come out of physical limitations into an abundant, unlimited world where Hashem can enable opportunity for you that you couldn't possibly pursue yourself. To invest money in a business, that's fine because there's no upside. The upside is not fixed. There's no cap to the upside. The Torah wants us to invest money in businesses as equity, but as debt, to put your money into a business and say, I will take 7%, just 7% is fine, just 6%, just 10%, just 15%. Why are you capping it? Because you don't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't believe that you're governed by miracle. You think you're governed by linear things, and so you want to make every little percent out of lending your money. And the opposite happens in the end. If you're investing in that way, if you're investing as a creditor, that's not a Jewish way of doing it. Yes, the Tur himself says that because of the laws that were imposed on the Jewish people, we were left with no way of earning a living other than lending money. So we became money lenders, and that's when we started lending to the non-Jewish world, because theoretically we shouldn't have been doing that either, midrabona. But ideally, that's not the way we're meant to be earning our living. Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch has a beautiful piece. Let's just go further for a moment in why money as opposed to an object. The difference is, there are two elements. The one is this idea of investment. If I'm lending you money, I'm investing in you. If I'm investing, the way to Jewish investment is equity. Jews don't invest debt. That's not the way we do it. We do invest equity because there's no upside. There's no capping on the upside. We invest equity because we're enabling business. We're partnering with the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is labor. There's a beautiful piece of Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. Bear in mind, Reb Shimshon Raphael Hirsch dies 5 years after Karl Marx. So he's in this whole socialist turmoil. And he has these beautiful pieces where he explains that our approach to capital is it belongs to Hashem. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. Hashem took us out of Egypt and said, I'm enabling you to own money, to be a landowner, to own capital. You were slaves before. You were socialists. I'm taking you out of socialism, and I'm giving you ownership of capital. The condition, though, is you actually don't own it. You're still socialists. The difference is it's not the government that owns it or the state that owns it. I own it, the Ribono Shel Olam. I own your assets, and I will dictate how you use your assets. And you use your assets to build community. You use your assets to build nationhood. And part of building nationhood is investing in people, investing in business, not lending to them. And one of the differences between cash is with a lend, it's like the difference between she'ela and halva'a, borrowing an object and lending money. We use two different words for it. In English, it's the same word. Can I borrow $100? Can I borrow your golden Rolex? Same words. In Hebrew, it's different things. Can I be loive $100? Can I be shoel your golden your Rolex? The difference is, if I have your golden Rolex, it's never mine. It sits there, it's on my wrist. I know it goes back to you when I'm finished using it. It goes back to you. If I'm renting it from you, I just have to make sure that I have the cash flow to fund the rental. That's okay, and then I give the watch back to you. It never becomes mine. But a loan is given to spend. It becomes part of your asset. And that's why the Rambam says, V'lama nikra shmo neshech mipnei shehu noshech shemetza'er et chaveiro v'ochel et besaro. Neshech means bite. You're biting into that person's revenue. You're taking money out of his bank account. Because the money you gave him becomes his for the period of the loan. It's not yours. It's his. He can do what he wants with it. He can gamble it. He can throw it out. He can do whatever he wants. He owes you the money. But that money that you gave him, he can do what he wants with it. If he borrowed your golden Rolex, he can't do what he wants with it. It's yours. It remains yours. He's a shomer. But when he borrows money, he's not a shomer. The money belongs to him. So if you're taking neshech, which also has the capacity to compound, and we know what that does to a person, that's linshoch, you're biting into his assets in a way that is something that the Torah doesn't want you to do. And the principle that Shimshon Raphael Hirsch works out with all of this, and we see it from the positioning of these psukim in the Torah with Shemitah and with Yovel, the whole idea of Shemitah and Yovel is you don't own the land. The Ribono Shel Olam owns the land. There's conditions on owning the land. And the whole idea of Shemitah is, oi, what will happen for 1/7 of the period? I won't work the land. Where will my income from? Yovel comes along. How am I going to manage? How am I going to cope? And land goes back to original owners. The only way you can live that way is if you believe that your money comes from the Ribono Shel Olam, not from your commercial transactions. That's the whole idea, the abundance of the potential to earn living is something a Jew lives by. That concept of abundance is so important in understanding. If I invest in opportunity, the opportunity is limitless. If I lend, the opportunity is capped. And there are all sorts of other difficulties with it as well. So as we go into these laws of ribis, we need to be able to look at it with this idea in mind, this double side of it. It's in Parshas Mishpatim, and it's in Bahar. It's in Vayikra, and it's in Shmot. Rambam paskens it in Mishpatim, the Shulchan Aruch paskens it in Yoredeh. There are these two, it's the way we do business, and the way we do business, Hirsch has a beautiful sentence where he says, the Jewish community, the Jewish people, bring the kingdom of Hashem into the world, not by the way we serve in the temple, but by the way we trade in the markets, in commerce, and in industry.